Welcome to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show. Here you will find a variety of podcasts from authors, bloggers, and speakers ready to encourage you on your daily journey. I can't wait to get started, and now let's listen to today's show.
This podcast is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join me, Katie Glennon, on the Literary Cafe podcast, where I share helpful tips and ideas to teach language arts, literature, and writing. My hope is for you to be able to walk away excited to try some new ideas in your own homeschool. Please visit me on my website, literarycafepodcast.com, for these ideas and resources to help you enjoy your homeschool journey.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today at the Literary Cafe podcast for today's episode of What Should You Be Including in Your Elementary Language Arts Homeschool Study? Have you ever worried about teaching your child to read or teaching your child to write? Or how are you going to fit in everything that everyone says should be part of your language arts homeschool study for the elementary school years? Do you need all these different curriculums, all these different programs, and how are you going to fit them all together and make them work together? And how are you going to fit them all into one day and still cover all of the other subjects you feel you need to cover? Well, that's what we're going to discuss today. We're going to talk about which programs I have found most effective and time efficient with my years of not only just homeschooling, but also teaching. And we're going to look at how do you fit them together for using your time most effectively and having your child learn all of these skills most efficiently. And at the same time, not having to buy all of these different programs, and it'll even save you some money. So let's get started. There are five different components that we're going to be talking about, and they include learners from your early learners, which are your beginner readers, to your through all the way through fourth grade. When we talk about fifth grade and up, we're starting with middle school. So next month we'll be talking about your middle school, which are fifth grade and up in high school, but today we'll be going all the way through fourth grade for elementary. So your five different components are 1, reading, 2, spelling, and with that, handwriting, 3, vocabulary, 4, writing, and we're talking about writing and composition, and 5, grammar. Now, as I talk about each one of these, I'm also going to be mentioning some curriculum that I suggest that you take a look at to see if it's a good fit with your family. And this is based on my own personal experience in reviewing and using the curriculum, and also the sheer number of homeschoolers that I've come across who swear by certain programs and how successful they've been with them. Now, when we mention these, you'll find them in the show notes on the website page at literarycafepodcast.com, as well as in a handout that you can print out. The first thing that we want to talk about will be reading. And we're talking about your early readers here, where they're learning what letters of the alphabet are, what sounds they make, as well as their beginning words and their sight words. A good sight word website that you might want to check out just to look at the different activities in addition to the activities and sight words suggested in your programs that I'm about to suggest would be sightwords.com. That's a great program, a great website you want to check out. The programs that I recommend for learning reading follow a phonics program where it's structured and it goes from one sound to the next to the next. It's a very organized program. I also recommend including multisensory dimensions. And when I say multisensory, I mean for visual, auditory, and kinesthetic learners. So that you can this way use different members of your family. You can hang on to this curriculum from year to year and use it with multiple learners year after year. as well as using it with students who you're not quite sure yet what kind of learner they are, and they may not even know really what kind of learner they are yet either. So they may end up confusing you and switching back and forth. So this type of multisensory approach is really effective with all different kinds of learners. And the phonics approach starts with the letters of the alphabet, the sounds they make, and then moves on to vowel sounds and the vowel combinations and the sounds they make, and then moves to consonant sounds with the consonant blends. I recommend this the best over other programs where they start with the consonant blends first. And the reason for this is because if you're teaching a child how to say BL and blah, or TH and the, before they have even learned the different vowel sounds, you're starting some bad habits, because they're going to naturally say blah, or blah, or the, and there is no vowel sound there yet. It's just a consonant blend. So following a program that has the vowel sound first, they learn the vowel sound, then you add the consonant to the front of that vowel sound. They're learning it in a more sequential and natural manner so that they're not developing poor habits. Now, when I say multisensory approach, of course, we are looking at the words visually. We're hearing the words with our auditory and hearing the sounds with our auditory. And then kinesthetically, there are a number of things that you can do, which we did. And we did a lot of different things, because I had two different, completely different types of learners, as well as learners that showed absolutely no interest in learning any of their vowels, any of their letters, sounds, nothing, or they found it a challenge. So we found ourselves laying on the floor and making letter shapes with our bodies, making the letter shapes with our arms up in the air, and we also did that with our spelling, when we would spell a word out loud if they were having a hard time remembering what letters were included in that spelling word. We would also use a Montessori technique of cutting out shapes of letters out of sandpaper and then tracing them with our fingers. We traced shaving cream. We traced letters with finger paints, sand. We made letters out of Play-Doh, salt dough, pipe cleaners. We would also use sidewalk chalk outside on our driveway and make small letters as well as large letters with sweeping arm motions. And then we would take a paintbrush with a bucket full of water, and then we would paint the letters on the driveway with our water. So, as I said, the phonics, I loved the phonics because it does group the words that you're learning with word families and the sounds that those word families are making. It's a great way to tie in spelling that way as well. So if you have a child who's ready to start writing, I would say around, if they move from just the letters in kindergarten to words in first grade, even if you have a child who's not ready to write anything yet in kindergarten, you can work on fine motor skills. But before you do the handwriting, you want to make sure that those fine motor skills are ready. You can do practice of fine motor skills with those safety scissors, cutting Play-Doh, cutting along different types of lines, whether they're jagged lines, loopy loop lines, straight lines, tracing with a pencil, straight lines, tracing loopy loop lines, jagged lines with a pencil. You can also use tweezers and have your child develop fine motor skills with their pinchers, with the tweezers, picking things up with the tweezers, sorting things with beads and so on. Those will all develop fine motor skills. When it comes time for handwriting and with these word families, you'll see that it's a natural flow to go from reading these words that use these word families to using them as spelling words and how to spell them, and also how to handwrite them. And I would recommend starting with cursive or Danielian. And if you haven't heard of Danielian, it's a step between manuscript, which is printing, and cursive. The reason why I recommend Danielian or cursive is that your child is not lifting their hand off the paper and starting on another area of the paper to write another section of that letter and cut that letter into different pieces. When you're writing cursive or Danielian, you're writing on a piece of paper continuously in a flowing, smooth motion, and you're not lifting your hand up. It's a much more natural and relaxed way for your child to learn how to form those letters and what letters they're forming. In order to practice their spelling words and their handwriting skills, what I did and what I recommend is go ahead with your phonics program. If your phonics program doesn't have the handwriting or the spelling component, is to go to a website, handwritingworksheets.com, and I have the link for that provided for you, where you can type in your own spelling words or the words that you want them to practice writing, or even letters that you want them to practice writing, and it will print out for you like a handwriting worksheet. So I love that website, and there are others out there just like it that you can use. Now I'm going to just name for you some programs to look into for a phonics program to start with the reading process, and then I will tell you how we used ours. I'm not going to get into too much detail because it would take too much time, so the links are provided for you to check these out for yourself. Now a program that has reading, spelling, and handwriting in it is Foundations Logic of English. They go through levels K through first grade. They use the cursive, but they do give you directions for the manuscript or printing. It's also multisensory. They do give you suggestions for how to use the multisensory approach, as well as suggestions for components you might want to purchase to use with this phonics program for additional reading practice, such as the early readers from Bob's books. The program that we used was Hooked on Phonics for grades K through second. It had its own sets of readers, it had activity and game suggestions, flashcards, an incentive chart, which I found very valuable for my struggling reader, and we added our own, as I already described to you, our multisensory approach. We also added games to the program in addition to the ones that they already suggested. And a website for you to go to would be sightwords.com. They have the sight words available to you. These two phonics programs would include sight words as well. Most phonics programs will have sight words, but if you want to do additional sight words or you want to get ideas for activities or games in addition to what you're doing, that website is great, sightwords.com. They have the sight words broken up into grade levels as well as lists of activities that you can do with those sight words. We also, once my child hit second grade, and I'm going to get into this with spelling, and as well as the handwriting, that's when we officially started a spelling program, and I will tell you about what we used for that. Then another program to look into would be Explode the Code. That's a phonics-based program with booklets. You would need to obtain some practice readers, such as Bob's books, or going to the library and getting some early reader books there that are going over the same sounds that you're going over in that program. Another program is Phonics Pathways. They have workbooks where they have teacher's instructions. They also have a multisensory approach. They do not include the spelling, but they do include spelling charts, rules, and lists. But you have to be the one to come up with how you're going to use them. And you'd also come up with your own handwriting worksheets. They also have additional components that you can purchase to practice reading fluency, as well as teaching aids. Another program is McRuffy Language Arts K through 4. That's a multisensory approach. It also is phonics, has reading, spelling, even some grammar through dictation, and it has some composition, writing composition, as I said, because it goes through grade 4. Now, if your child is really, really struggling and with reading, and you want to combine the spelling with the reading in a very structured and detailed program, you can use All About Reading by itself, K through 4, or use it with All About Spelling, which goes along with what you're learning with the reading. It is also multisensory. This All About Spelling is very teacher intensive for the spelling. If your child is really struggling, though, I do recommend this program. It does have manipulatives, and it has step-by-step procedures guiding you to help your child with their spelling. There is no handwriting component, so you would need to come up with one. Now, what we did with Hooked on Phonics is we followed the program as directed. We did the activities and the games and used the flashcards that they suggested. But we also did our own kind of thing where we made duplicate flashcards and we played games such as Fish, Old Maid, a memory concentration game where we did a matching thing. And then my child would have to read these words on the flashcards in order to be able to keep them as a match. So we came up with our own games to make it a little bit more interesting. We also went to the library. We also picked out books that were early readers that went along with what we were reading with the Hooked on Phonics. I did make my own handwriting worksheets, as I said. But then when my child was in second grade, that's when I started a formal spelling program. And I used Building Spelling Skills by Christian Liberty Press. I really loved this workbook because they broke it out into 36 weeks of spelling. It was all spelled out. My child could do it pretty much independently. And what I would do is I would break each unit with those spelling words that were grouped according to word families, so it tied right into our phonics. And I would break each unit into sections. So one day type of activity on Monday, another activity would be for Tuesday, another activity in that unit would be for Wednesday, and another for Thursday. We would also be writing flashcards, and we would do duplicates of that as well. And this is where that other multisensory approach comes in. If your child is having a hard time remembering the portion of the spelling word that they're supposed to be remembering and learning with the whole word family. So for instance, if they're studying words that all have the O sound with OW, on the flashcard, we would put the BL for the word blow in black or blue, something like that, and then the OW in red or green or whatever color would stand out, and I would let my child pick the color. That way, the section of the word that they were learning and learning how to spell would be highlighted for them. And then if they were having a problem with it, we would have these flashcards where I would say the word, they would spell it, and if they had an issue with that word, I would then show them the flashcard with this color, different colors on it. They would spell the word with their arm in the air and their hand. Then they would close their eyes, visualize the word on their eyelids, spell it to me again, open their eyes, and then spell it one more time. We would go through the deck of flashcards each day, and then we would set aside the ones that we were having a problem with, and we would review those each day. By the end of the week, they were ready for a quiz on Friday. So that is a way to study spelling, but I love that particular program for the workbooks. As I said, the other program you might want to consider for a child for spelling would be the All About Spelling if they're really struggling. Now, reading after second grade, for third and fourth grade, as your child becomes more a fluent reader and they're reading chunks and chunks of sentences and they're ready for chapter books and so on, you want to now focus on their comprehension skills, higher order thinking skills, and different reading type ability skills. So you're going to be looking into types of questions that not only include what happened in the story, but also help them use skills such as drawing conclusions, making inferences and predictions, using context clues, coming up with the main idea, also discussing the elements of the story, what made up the story, the plot, the characters, the conflict, where and when was the setting, and also literary devices. You'll start looking at similes and metaphors and other kinds of writing techniques that the author uses. This is also where you would start bringing in vocabulary. I started vocabulary after second grade, and I would use the vocabulary out of whatever it was that they were reading. We would read a combination of novels with kind of a novel study guide where it would lead me and give to me. I could come up with my own questions, but I wanted to use something that was easy to use at this point and spend my time one-on-one in math, let's say. So I saved myself time by using some novel study guides as well as an anthology. And I'll talk about the anthology in a second. But our vocabulary came from whatever it was that they were reading. And that made the most sense because that way they could use the context clues in the sentence, in the story, to help them figure out what the word meant in the context of the story. And it also helped them remember what the word meant. I did try the vocabulary workbook route, and that was a waste of time. Not only was it extremely boring and killed their interest in even learning it, but it did not stick because there was no context. So I highly recommend if when you move into a vocabulary study around third grade, fourth grade, you start using the words that they're actually reading in their reading. Now, the novel study guides that we used varied from Bob Jones University. They have a series called Book Links, and in there that comes with the novel, sets of questions to use that cover the different types of reading skills you want your child to develop, as well as activity suggestions, and even suggestions that almost made it almost a history unit study. So if you're doing American history or an American social studies type study, you could tie in these novel studies with your reading that has your vocabulary and these types of reading comprehension type questions in with your history. Total Language Plus has some titles for third and fourth grade that you can tie in to some kind of history. They also include vocabulary with comprehension questions. They also supply spelling words, and they have a grammar element to it. But Progeny Press has even more titles for third and fourth grade. They come with the reading comprehension and story analysis with suggested activities that would help tie it into sort of a history unit study. We did a combination of these novel studies as well as an anthology. And the anthology that we used was a book, like a textbook, from Mos Dos Press. And they have one for each grade level, starting with second and third grade. And the reason why I liked these is because it included different forms of writing. So along with the novels, my children were looking at poetry, essays, short stories, speeches. Maybe there was a play included in the book. And it was good quality literature because I would look through them and really rate what it was my child was reading. It wasn't just fluffy stuff, but it was good quality literature by well-known authors in this anthology. They had their vocabulary in there as well as the different kinds of questions to help your child come up with predicting outcomes and coming up with the main idea and the author and what the author's intent was and the setting and so on. Now, another thing that we also did, and this leads into our next element of language arts, is writing. We would also read aloud stories together, where the emphasis wasn't so much on my child reading, but my child listening and then being able to retell what we just read together, and then develop their narration skills, which is a Charlotte Mason term. But it's an excellent habit to get into because it forces your child to organize their thoughts before they say them. So if they want to retell the story, they have to organize the retelling of the story in their own minds, come out with what words and in what order they want to say them, which is the very beginning steps of being able to write. So it's an excellent practice to get into, even as young as first and second grade. And that's when we did it. We would have a story time where we might read a particular history type curriculum, such as Story of the World, where we would read a chapter, or we would read fairy tales or legends or fables. And then my children would take turns telling me what we just read. They would then draw a picture of a scene about what we just read. And then when they were really little, they would tell me what that scene was about in one sentence, and I would write it for them. As they got older, they would write the one sentence about that scene for themselves. But first, they would say it out loud, and then they would write down word by word, one word at a time, what they just told me. This is how we started writing. We would write the picture about what we just read together out loud. After we drew the picture, then they would tell me what it was about, and using their own words, one word at a time, they would write a sentence. Then after that, they would write another sentence as they got better at it. And pretty soon, they were writing a whole page about their picture that they drew. That's how we started. Then, when I noticed they were using their creative spelling or inventive spelling skills, and I noticed they were getting something wrong because they were trying to spell it phonetically from their phonetic background, I would then write a couple of words that I noticed we needed to add to our spelling list for that week or the next week. And then that would be practiced along with the rest of their spelling for that week, and eventually they would be getting that word spelled correctly as well. The other thing that we did, as I noticed that they were getting more comfortable with writing sentences, we would use a couple of different workbooks by Evan Moore to develop more complicated sentences and to add details. So instead of just writing the who and the what, we would also add details describing the who and describing the what, like how they did something, where did they do it, and why. So there are three books that I recommend you check out. One is Write a Super Sentence by grades 1 through 3 by Evan Moore. The other two are Paragraph Writing for grades 2 through 4, and then Writing Fabulous Sentences and Paragraphs for grades 4 through 6. These all give you step-by-step directions as the parent and supplies your child with charts and the pages and the prompts to write about. So for instance, there's a chart for writing a super sentence where the prompt is the pig ate. And in the chart, that sentence gives you the who and the what, but you fill in the details. So the is in the first part of the chart. The next part is blank. The next part has pig. The next part has ate. And then the next part is blank. So you would fill in the blank of the pig, the blank pig. So that's where you would start using details and describing words for the pig. Then after the ate, you would say how the pig ate. And then you would go on from there and make even more complicated sentences. So you're constructing sentences with their charts, with their suggestions, into more detailed sentences. Then from there, you would work from the sentences to developing a paragraph and developing a topic sentence, then supporting detail sentences, then a concluding sentence. And the paragraph book is the one that you would want to work with for that. It's very important that your child gets used to writing a properly formatted paragraph and has the idea that it should start off with a topic sentence, supporting details, and then a concluding sentence, because that is the jumping off point for the rest of the papers that they'll be writing as they get older, such as a 5-paragraph paper. So take a look at those workbooks, and you'll see what I mean about building on top of your basic skills. They're very handy to have. Now, as far as writing sentences and moving into grammar, I did add grammar in first and second grade, but only in the sense that the rules that we followed was, the first rule was the sentence should start with a capital letter and end with a period. Any kinds of names should be capitalized. If you're asking a question, it should end in a question mark instead of a period. If it's a exclamation and someone's yelling it, it should end in an exclamation point instead of a period. And then I would move on to the idea for second grade that a sentence should have a subject, a verb, and a complete thought. And one of the things that I highly recommend is that when you talk about what a subject is, don't say that it's what the sentence is about. I hear that all the time, and I even see it in books all the time. I recommend, from years of teaching experience, that to say who or what is doing something in the sentence. That is your subject. What they are doing is your verb, and you can ask, what are they doing? So who or what in your sentence is doing something? What are they doing? That is your subject and your verb. If you ask, what is the sentence about? That's way too vague, and you're going to leave your kids floundering. So please take that hint. And then the other component is that it's a complete thought. You would move on from here to adding to your sentences where you have your subject and your verb, and then you're adding adjectives to describe your subject. You're adding adverbs to describe your verb. And then you're adding prepositions to give more detail, as well as adding your articles, the a and an. You can start a grammar workbook in second grade. I started in third grade with Easy Grammar and Daily Grams. I really enjoyed those books and that program because it covered all areas of grammar: punctuation, capitalization, sentence combining, which is a very good skill to have so that your child gets out of that rut of just having a short sentence, then another short sentence, and then another short sentence. It also covers other skills that are important when it comes to sentences and words, word usage, and also in grammar. However, for parts of speech, I did add an additional component for extra practice and understanding. And we used Winston Grammar to work on parts of speech. And that is a color-coded system where it's got color-coded cards, and each color represents a different function or part of speech and how a word is being used in the sentence. So I thought it was an excellent program for a child who is not geared toward diagramming. I loved diagramming. My children did not. I did try the idea of diagramming with each of them. It took more effort and time to teach them how to diagram than to teach them about how the words are being used in a sentence, which is your goal. So we went with Winston Grammar because you write the sentence down. You can draw arrows from the adjectives to the nouns that the adjectives are describing. You can label the words as an adjective, as a subject, as a noun, as a verb, as an adverb. So we did much better labeling things and then drawing arrows to connect the words that were somehow connected, instead of using a diagram to show that connection. If you do want a diagram and you do have a child who is very sequential in their learning, who loves lists, who loves organized forms and filling out organized forms, who, if you give them a task such as cleaning out a closet or cleaning off a bookshelf, and you see them cleaning one little section at a time and organizing one section at a time, as opposed to taking all the books off the bookshelf or all the items out of a closet and basically displaying them across the floor of their bedroom and then cleaning up, you have an organizer. So they would probably do well with diagramming, but if you see that they're struggling, don't push it. It's not worth it. It's not a necessity. My guys have been through several college classes now, with one just graduating, and they never had to diagram anything. They did, however, need to know how to write. Now, for tests, even for standardized tests, and they've taken the standardized tests to get into college as well as to get into graduate school, they never needed to diagram. But they did know how words were being used. They did need to know if they were being used properly. That's what you will get if your kids cannot diagram, but they use a program such as Winston Grammar, as well as Easy Grammar and Daily Grams. If you do want a diagram, I would suggest Rod and Staff. That's an excellent program, and they are very thorough and very organized, and I think that it's also a time-efficient grammar program to use. So that about covers the concepts and the skills for the approximate age levels for the language arts that should be covered in elementary years. I hope that I've given you some suggestions on how to get started and what worked for us and what resources to look into. The main thing is to get started so that you get an idea of where your child is and what works best for your child. There are going to be maybe some stumbling blocks where you might have to reevaluate what you're using and try something else, which is why I've given you a selection of things to choose from. I hope that they have helped and that they give you lots of ideas of where to start from. Please make sure that you join us next month in July as we look at what to include in your language arts program for middle and high school for grades 5 through 12. And I thank you for joining me. Please comment in the comments box anything that you have found helpful in this podcast or anything that you have found helpful and have tried in your own home and would like to share with me and with others. And if you have any questions at all about anything that I have covered in this podcast or any of the materials, please also ask that in the comments box. I would love to hear from you and to get a conversation started. So until next time, enjoy your time together and enjoy your homeschool journey.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Be sure to visit me at literarycafepodcast.com for this podcast and others, and at katieshomeschoolcottage.com for even more ideas and resources for you to use in your homeschool journey.
This podcast is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or any of your favorite podcast apps. Look for the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show to keep up to date with all our wonderful podcasts. For a special subscriber printable pack, as well as all our timely freebies, join our email list on theultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com.